Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about the search for a missing girl from South Central Montana, the U.S.-China trade agreement, and what it would take to rebuild a historic creek in Butte. It's Thursday, January 16th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. A former firefighter has filed a complaint with the Montana Human Rights Network saying she was the victim of discrimination and was wrongfully terminated. The Flathead Beacon reported that the December 30th complaint by Presley Pritchard says other Evergreen Fire Rescue employees harassed her about photos she shared on social media. The complaint says the department's Board of Trustees received a complaint from a resident that some of Pritchard's social media photos were inappropriate. Pritchard's complaint says she was fired in August 2019 for failing to follow orders to delete the posts. The fire department has denied the allegations. Multiple agencies are continuing to search for a missing girl from South Central Montana through frigid weather. Olivia Reingold reports.
A multi-agency search team looked for Selena Shelley Faye Not Afraid around the Interstate 90 eastbound rest stop between Hardin and Billings Wednesday. Bighorn County Undersheriff Mike Fuss and about 25 other law enforcement officers searched for leads starting at 8 a.m. when the high was 1 degree Fahrenheit.
As you get out there and start walking, I thought you warm up pretty quick. And I think the adrenaline of hoping you're going to find her and she's going to pop up and say hi to you or something, you know.
16-year-old Not Afraid was last seen at the Fly Creek rest area on I-90 on New Year's afternoon. A search began that evening. That was 15 days ago. Now multiple agencies on the federal, state, and local levels are involved, including the Bighorn County Sheriff's Office and the Bureau of Indian Affairs. The Bureau of Land Management joined the search this week. A Montana sheriff recently called Not Afraid's disappearance suspicious-looking in nature. Bighorn County Undersheriff Fuss says volunteers from the community started their search New Year's Day and went home either Monday or Tuesday as temperatures lowered toward zero and below. Fuss says he worked a 28-hour day after Not Afraid was reported missing and hasn't had a day off since New Year's. He says his office is investigating 5 or 4 other cases, including the disappearance of Hub Williamson, a Native American man who went missing last April.
Selena's been our priority. I mean, we need to find her.
Fuss says he's hopeful his agency and others will find Not Afraid. They found no leads as of Wednesday afternoon. On Wednesday, U.S. Senator John Tester sent a letter urging the FBI and BIA to step up their investigation and asked for an update for Not Afraid's family and local communities. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
Olivia Reingold is Yellowstone Public Radio's Report for America core member. Bozeman Yellowstone International Airport saw more passengers than ever before in 2019, even as nearby Yellowstone National Park reported a dip in visitation. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle reports 1.5 million passengers traveled through the airport last year, a more than 17% increase from 2018. That marks the 10th consecutive year the airport has beaten its own record. Meanwhile, Yellowstone National Park announced yesterday it recorded a little more than 4 million visits last year, the lowest number since 2014. The year-end figure marks an almost 6% drop since the park's record-breaking 2016 season. Some Montana lawmakers are applauding the U.S.-China trade agreement signed yesterday, saying it's a big win for the state's ag producers. Critics say a trade war with the world's second-largest economy should not have happened in the first place. Rachel Kramer reports.
Policymakers say the initial agreement with China cools tensions after a year-and-a-half-long trade war and escalating tariffs. The U.S. has agreed not to impose or reduce tariffs on some products from China, including cell phones and laptops. China says it will do more to protect American companies' intellectual property and purchase an additional $200 billion worth of American goods and services by 2021. That includes at least $40 billion worth of U.S. food, agricultural, and seafood products annually for the next 2 years. Montana Senator Steve Daines and Cascade County Commissioner Joe Briggs joined President Trump Wednesday for the signing ceremony in Washington, D.C. Briggs, who represents 15 Western states on the Executive Committee of the National Association of Counties, says the U.S.-China trade deal has far-reaching ramifications economically, especially for farmers and ranchers in north-central Montana.
The deal itself obviously just has dollar amounts, the commitment levels of China's increased purchases for ag products. There's nothing specifically that says who gets those contracts. So our folks will obviously have to compete for it.
Briggs says even if Montana's ag producers don't win the contracts, the bigger market in China should help improve overall prices. He's also confident Senator Daines can help Montana get its fair share from the deal. Daines is Montana's lone seat in the U.S. Senate Finance Committee, which has jurisdiction over international trade, and a member of the U.S. Senate China Working Group. Briggs says the trade deal could also help Montana's pulse crop industry.
Senator Daines has been at the forefront of trying to get the Chinese beef market open, and this deal definitely gets that accomplished. But also pork and poultry, which we provide a lot of out of north central Montana.
Briggs says the trade deal could also help Montana's pulse crop industry. Democratic Senator John Tester said in a statement Wednesday, the initial agreement with China is a welcome first step, but there's a lot more to do to end, quote, this self-inflicted trade war. With ink dried on a deal with China, the full Senate now turns its attention to the United States-Mexico-Canada trade agreement later this week. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Montana regulators say they expect to have $4 million in bonds in place by July to cover future cleanup costs at the Colstrip power plant. But state lawmakers expressed skepticism over that time frame after regulators failed to meet previous deadlines to secure the money. At a meeting of the Energy and Telecommunications Interim Committee Monday, Democratic Senator Janet Ellis of Helena asked how the State Department of Environmental Quality could ensure it'll have bonds in hand by the end of the fiscal year.
You may recall I've done bills in 2017 and 2019, and I was promised the surety bonds would be in place by the end of 2017, and then by the end of 2019, and neither of those have happened.
A DEQ representative told her part of the reason is that the department is waiting on the power plant owners. The coal-fired plant in southeastern Montana closed two of its four units earlier this month. Plans are being made to clean up huge volumes of contaminated water that leaked from ponds that were used to store ash from the coal burned at Colstrip. That work is expected to cost $4 million to $7 million. A new study says it's possible to rebuild a historic creek that once flowed through Butte, which was destroyed by decades of mining. But it won't be easy and it won't come cheap. Montana Public Radio's Nora Sachs has more.
2 years ago, the Environmental Protection Agency claimed that the cleanup being negotiated in Butte's final Superfund deal won't prevent a local activist group's vision of a free-flowing first mile of Silverbow Creek in the center of town. But Northy Trethaway, a spokesperson for the Restore Creek Coalition, says that claim wasn't enough.
We were very elated, but as everyone knows, you can't just go on what is said. You have to get a confirmation.
The coalition asked the Superfund parties for hard proof and a clear answer to the question,
can we get a creek by combining remediation, restoration somehow or another here so that we can have a creek as we move forward?
With grant funding from the federal government, ROCC hired an environmental consulting firm to study whether a rebuilt creek will fit with the extensive mine waste cleanup, water treatment systems, and 120-acre park slated for the Urban Creek Corridor. In front of a packed room at Montana Tech on Tuesday night, consultants with Water and Environmental Technologies unveiled the results. Project manager Elizabeth Erickson said decisively, yes, a creek is feasible, but it won't be easy. One fundamental engineering challenge is that the Upper Silverbow Creek Corridor sits in a really flat valley.
As you look at these numbers, you see that we're not even at 1% slope coming down through here.
That's important because the activists want the creek designed to be gravity-fed as much as possible, which is hard with so little change in elevation. The environmental consultants evaluated several possible routes for the creek and determined the path of least resistance would start at the edge of the active open pit mine on the east side of town, flow past the Civic Center, and end about 1 mile west at Blacktail Creek. No matter where Silver Bow Creek is built, it would have to navigate major street crossings, urban infrastructure, and private property. And it would have to be lined. Erickson said that's because
we know that there's contaminated groundwater in the corridor, and so that lining actually, in some places, keeps the water in the creek, but also keeps the clean water in the creek disconnected from the contaminated groundwater beneath.
Erickson estimates the creek would cost between $9 and $15 million to construct and about $10,000 a year to operate and maintain. That cost could come down if the Superfund cleanup incorporates the creek design. The state of Montana has said that money will be set aside in Butte's pending Superfund deal for amenities like the creek, but how much might be dedicated to the creek project is unknown. The study of creating a man-made creek also didn't identify where its water flow would come from. About 90 people showed up to Tuesday's meeting, many hopeful that the dream of a creek could be getting closer to reality now that there's a conceptual plan on paper. But Butte resident Ed Bandarab suggested that the ongoing debate over the creek has distracted the community from more pressing issues.
But it takes away the focus from what we should be looking at. We've got 140 years of mine waste, and we've got an active mine, and every study should be including what can we do to minimize human exposure to the heavy metal contaminants.
Members of the Restore a Creek Coalition say now that they have proof that building the creek they want is compatible with the cleanup, they'll be paying close attention to the details of Butte's forthcoming Superfund deal when its contents are made public. In Butte, I'm Nora Sachs, Montana Public Radio.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.